So a few words about Liberia. As you all know, Liberia came out of a very difficult period of their history with a civil war of more than 14 years. And at that time, we are talking, these are figures of around 2009, we have around 3.5 million people, life expectancy below 60. The per capita gross national product is 320, but that's, like it says on the slide, 90% reduction from before the civil war, you can imagine. And the literacy rate under 60%, and then in the Human Development Index, Liberia is 162 out of 169, so we all know that there is a lot of work. Outcome indicators, just to give you a quick idea, under 5 mortality, these are data from 2007, DHS, and we hope to have better data again in 2012. This year there will be another DHS. But we started from under 5 mortality of 111, infant mortality 72, and then maternal mortality close to 1,000 per 100,000 live births. Prevalence for HIV/AIDS 1.5%. That's okay, you could say, in a lot of African countries we are much higher. Stunting, 42% of the children under 5, and malaria prevalence. Malaria, the biggest health problem of Liberia, 32%. So basically, what is happening here in Liberia is that up to 2007 we were in an emergency phase of humanitarian assistance, but since 2007 the ministry has, with the new government of Ellen Johnston, has taken the lead in the transition phase from 2007 to 2011, and then 2011 we started the real development phase with the development of a national health and social welfare plan and policy, 10-year plan, so 2011-2021. And the United States of America has asked, has offered help in health to the government of Liberia with a huge project which is called Rebuilding Basic Health Services, RBHS. And as I said, it has been awarded to us, JSI, in 2008. Overall goal to assist the Ministry of Health and Social Welfare to develop and implement a national plan and bring the situation back under control in health. So from the beginning on, this project had strategically decided that, together with the ministry, that the first years, the transition phase, was going to be focusing on service delivery, because that was what the population needed. People had no more health services. And then in the development phase, and that's why I came to Liberia, we moved rather in capacity building and sustainability. And both Vamsi and me, we joined the team to strengthen the health systems and capacity building. And you can graphically, you can look at it this way with, you know, the 5 years of the project. Naturally, you cannot say now we do service delivery and now we do capacity building. It's mixed, but in the beginning, focus was on service delivery and now more and more on capacity building so that we can build sustainable things together with the Ministry of Health. And how did we do the service delivery? We did that via performance-based contracts, because at that time in 2009, even it was very difficult for the ministry to take the whole country immediately. So we were running 112 facilities of the then 300 and something, now even more, and with 770,000 population that we covered. And that was done via 5 NGOs, Africare, Equip, IRC, MTI, and Mercy is a local organization. Maybe Equip you don't recognize neither, but the others are pretty known NGOs. And we gave them contracts that were performance-based to help the government in implementing essential package of health services, like they call it. Dr. Dan will give more details on that. And then Louise will take over for the performance-based financing aspect. And so also to start supporting the county health teams. When you hear county in Liberia is the same as a state or a province, and in fact it's the same as a health district. So the 3.5 million people are divided into 15 counties, so approximately 200,000 to 400,000 people per county. Here you have the map of Liberia, and the blue areas are the six and a bit seven counties where RBHS was working. So a little bit all over the country. So the thing was that, like I said, towards 2011, there was a re-evaluation done of the situation. There were successes definitely since the end of the Civil War. Various indicators have been improved. There is now a 10-year national health and social welfare policy and plan. There are county operational plan, but there is not still so many things to do. Access to health services is still very much an issue. Maternal mortality, as you have seen, we are still not, certainly not far away from the 75% reduction that the Millennium Development Goals ask for 2015. And most of all, the health systems, support systems are very weak. Let me show you a couple of results, but again, Louise and Dr. Dan will give more about that. But look at the maternal skilled birth attendance indicator. Well, it speaks for itself. On the left side, we are in 2009. On the right side, we are in 2012. So we went up from 20% to 68%, at least for the RBHS facilities. But then if you look at certain statistics like this one, for example, the red line is the target line for what we call IPT2. It's intermittent prevention therapy for malaria. You have to give two doses during pregnancy. And this is the IPT2. The blue line is the performance. But you can see towards last year, towards 2008, in I would say quarter 10, there is a dip, you can see, in the IPT2 coverage. Why? No more Fansidar. So stockout, national stockout of Fansidar. So you see the systems, if they are not in place, you cannot do the kind of quality work in health service delivery. So we needed to move in a new strategy, and USAID luckily was very much on board with the Ministry of Health, and based on the priorities of the Liberian Ministry of Health and also on the Global Health Initiative of USAID, we started a program of what you call the Fixed Amount Reimbursement Agreement, the FARA, which is a totally innovative mechanism for the U.S. government to give money directly to the country, not going via a contractor. And that is being tested out in Liberia to stress the country ownership and the building of sustainable system. But based on those agreements between USAID and the ministry, RBHS also changed their strategy, redesigning their activities towards more health system strengthening and capacity building, and specifically working with the central ministry as well as with the county health teams, because Liberia had already decided that they wanted to, as soon as possible, decentralize, and health is taking the lead in this decentralization. So we are helping also to better understand roles and responsibility under this new decentralization policy. And that's a lot, Vamsi, who will say that in his presentation. And that's what we call then the capacity building initiative that started in January with the arrival of Vamsi and me, focusing on building comprehensive capacity, meaning not just the individual capacity building, training people, supportive supervision, that's very good. But we go further into organizational capacity building, you know. Like I said, roles and responsibilities, do people have, are they well defined and are they well understood? And so identifying the capacity in those areas, communication between various stakeholders, and then health system strengthening, supply chain management, health information systems, in-service training programs, all these things. And we follow the six building blocks of the health system framework of WHO that you probably all know. On the left side you have the six building blocks from service delivery, workforce, information, commodities, financing, and leadership and governance. So that's exactly how the ministry has developed their national policy, and we have developed our capacity building plans together with the ministry. Challenges and constraints, many. Naturally, in a country that is starting really to nearly build from scratch, the scale and scope is so enormous that it is very difficult to set your priorities, and so a lot of this work had to be deciding where we had to start and where we had to wait. Major staffing changes also occurred that made it sometimes in the beginning difficult to have continuity of the effort, but that's getting better now, also more stability. Budgetary gaps, the government is still working with very low amounts of funding in health, even if the how much percentage of the government spending? I think it's 15% of the government spending is health, which is not low, but the overall envelope is pretty low, and so Liberia depends entirely on foreign funding, and that is not always an easy thing to coordinate that. Capacity of their technical staff, that is obviously something we work on very much. And then huge management challenges in resource management, like access to essential medicines and infrastructure. In infrastructure, RBHS has basically renovated more than 30 health facilities, and mostly with a focus on maternal and neonatal care. Like we started to equip and train EMONC centers, emergency obstetrical and neonatal care centers. So what did we learn from this whole experience up to now with RBHS in building health systems in a post-conflict setting? And I will be very simple here, just saying all post-conflict settings, and God knows how many there are now in the world, have to go to this transition period and then move into development. Well, we thought that it was extremely useful to have had that strategy where in the transition phase you focus on service delivery. You have to give first confidence back to the population. Politically, that's also important. And so service delivery in the beginning, but then gradually move into capacity building and making sure that what you do has sustainable results. And how did we do the service delivery? That was also, I think, a good lesson learned. It's via this performance-based contracts, and the Ministry of Health has taken that as their overall policy now. How do you contract out services and make sure that they are efficient and still high quality? And Louise will say more about it. So this is the kind of three main lessons learned, and I think I've talked enough. Here is the leader of Liberia, Ellen Johnston, and I think what she says is, like usual, very relevant. So thank you very much. Thank you very much.